making excuses. We're back in Exodus, the third chapter. Going to invite you to turn there with me. As you get it, going to invite you to stand. Exodus 3, we're reading verses 1 through 18. Last Sunday, we talked about stop making excuses for yourself. This Sunday, we're going to talk about stop making excuses for God. That may seem odd, that may seem unusual, but all too often we make excuses for God instead of just stepping back and allowing God to do what God's going to do. If he doesn't come soon enough or he doesn't come the way you want to, we begin to make excuses or begin to say this or that. But if there is anyone you do not have to make excuses for, it's God. Amen? Touch your neighbor and say, don't make excuses for him. Now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. And he led the flock to the back of the desert and came to Horeb, which is the mountain of God. The angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire from the midst of the bush. And so he looked, and behold, the bush was burning with fire, but the bush was not consumed. So Moses said, I will turn aside now, and I will go and see this great sight, why the bush does not burn. So when the Lord saw that he's turned aside to look, God called to him from the midst of the bush. And he said, Moses, Moses. And Moses said, here am I. And then he said, do not draw near this place. Take your sandals off your feet, for the place where you stand is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. Verse 7, the Lord said, I have surely seen the oppression of my people who are in Egypt, and have heard their cry because of their taskmasters, for I am acquainted with their sorrows. So I have come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up from that land to a good and large land, to a land flowing with milk and honey, to the place of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. Somebody say that's a lot of ites. Now, therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel has come to me, and I have also seen the oppression with which the Egyptians oppress them. Come now, therefore, and I will send you to Pharaoh, that you may bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. But Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and that I should bring the children of Israel out of Egypt? And so he said, I will certainly be with you, and this shall be a sign to you that I have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you shall serve God on this very mountain. Verse 13, then Moses said to God, indeed, when I am come to the children of Israel and say to them, the God of your fathers have sent me to you, and they say to me, what is his name? What then shall I say to them? And God said to Moses, I am who I am. And he said, thus you shall say to the children of Israel, I am has sent me to you. Verse 15, moreover, God said to Moses again, thus you shall say to the children of Israel, the Lord your God, the Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Jacob, has sent me to you. And this is my name forever, and this is my memorial to all generations. Go and gather the elders of Israel together and say to them, the Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob, appeared to me, saying, I have surely visited you and seen what is done to you in Egypt. And I have said, I will bring you out of the affliction of Egypt to the land of the Canaanites and all of the other ites, to a land flowing with milk and honey. And then they will heed your voice, and you shall come, you and the elders of Israel, to the king of Egypt, and you shall say to him, the Lord God of the Hebrews has met with us, and now please let us go 3 days' journey into the wilderness that we may sacrifice to the Lord our God. Amen. Touch your neighbor and say, stop making excuses. Our God and our Father who art in heaven, we thank you for the privilege that we have today to enter once again into the sanctuary of God, the place where your name abides, the place where prayer is answered and honored. We thank you for this place where we offer praise, thanksgiving, salutation, exaltation, exhortation to your name alone. Because your name alone is worthy. Worthy to be praised. Worthy to be lifted. Worthy to be celebrated. Blessed be the name of the Lord our God, who satisfies our mouths with good things and pleasures our days with his mercy and with his grace. And so, Father, come now. Cause your spirit to fill this place. Take up every corner, every nook, every crack. Fill it with your presence, God. Let the people feel the power, the presence, and the potency of the Almighty God. Speak now, God, from the holy mount of God. Talk to us. Speak to our hearts, our minds, our souls, and to our bodies. And cause the word of God to find a resting place down in our hearts, that the word of God might find good and suitable ground to spring up into everlasting life. This is our prayer, and we ask it in Jesus' name. God's people said amen. 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 Amen again. You may be seated all over the church. Excuses are tools of the incompetent. They build bridges to nowhere and tunnels to nothingness. Those who excel in them seldom do in anything else. So therefore, there are no more excuses. That quote, I heard it on last Sunday as well, is from Frank Ocean. And with that, we're going to turn our attention to the Word of God. Chapter 3, verse 13. I'm just going to pick off the high points for you today. Verse 13, it says, as Moses said to God, indeed, when I come to the children of Israel and say to them that your God has sent me to you, they shall say to me, what is his name? What is his name? Now let me work a little background for you on the children of Israel and where they are in this story. The children of Israel has sojourned in Egypt for 430 years. They have lived. Generations of families have been born, and out of this 430 years. 400 of those years have been as indentured servants. That means out of the 430, 400 years, they were slaves. As God began to bless Joseph and the family of Jacob, and they began to multiply, and they began to prosper. They just were having babies. They were coming out healthy and strong. Pharaoh tried to kill them by incentivizing the midwives to take their lives if it is a male child. But that didn't work because the midwife said, we fear God more than we fear man. And so Pharaoh's plan was thwarted, and the Israelites multiplied greatly in Egypt. And they grew so much, they grew so large and outnumbered the Egyptians that the Pharaoh said to his chief counselors, if we don't do something about this population growth, they will soon outnumber us so much that they will become the ruling class and we will serve them. So in order to prevent that, Pharaoh said, this is what we're going to do. We're going to go out while we still have military might, and we are going to make them serve us. We're going to inflict them with hard labor. We're going to inflict them by taking over their lives. They will work for us. They will serve us. They will help us build Egypt into a great nation. And by so doing, we will be able to control the children of Israel. So for 400 years, they're in slavery. Grandparents born and died, still in slavery. People, Hebrews married, giving birth, passing on generation after generation, still in slavery. And this message resonates with us being people of color. We know something about slavery. Whether we're not of the generation who have experienced it personally, but we know that within all of our families, we have encountered slavery. Unable to move with any freedom, unable to work with any freedom, unable to build for your family. It was an American dream, but it wasn't our dream. It wasn't afforded to us. It wasn't given to us. So as we can relate to that from our own experience through our ancestors, so the Hebrews dealt with the same situation in biblical times, 400 years of slavery. And so with that, I understand when Moses says, God, if I go down to the people and tell them that their God has sent me, they're going to ask me, what God? Because for 400 years, there was no feast. There was no Feast of the Tabernacle for 400 years. For 400 years, there was no celebration. There was no ceremony of lights. For 400 years, there was no Passover. There was no Paschal Lamb. There was no worship. There were no Levites leading the people in. There were no priests offering a morning and an evening sacrifice. For 400 years, there was no church service. For 400 years, no revivals, no communion, no fellowship around the altar of God. Matter of fact, there was no erection of a tabernacle. There was no place where they could gather. The only religious worship was that which was set in place by Pharaoh and the Egyptians. The sun god, they worshiped Ra and all of these other gods that was foreign to Israel. And so for 400 years, they have been absent of relationship with God. So I understand why Moses said, God, now if I go and tell them God has sent me, they're going to ask me, who's God? The God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. And I can see the children of Israel saying, yeah, that may be the case. That may have been their God, but he's not ours. Yeah, because the God that we would like to serve has been absent. The God that we would like to serve has been silent. I haven't heard his voice. Neither did my parents hear his voice. Neither did my grandparents know his name. So at this point in time, my generation, my family, we have no God. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Watch this. Let's not work 400 years. Let's work 40 years. 40 years is a lifetime for us. 40 years is just enough time that if you don't hear from God, you begin to doubt that there is a God. Let's keep working the number line. Maybe not 400 years. Maybe not 40 years. Maybe it's 40 weeks. The better part of a year. Raise your hand if you've ever gone the better part of a year and you haven't heard from God. And I don't mean you haven't tried to reach him. I don't mean you haven't tried to pray to him or try to praise him. But for 40 weeks, no God. 40 weeks, no miracle. 40 weeks, nothing moving in the spirit realm. Wait a minute, let's work the number line again. Maybe it's not 40 years or 40 weeks. Maybe it's just 40 hours. Maybe you need God over the weekend, but it doesn't show up. God, I really need you this weekend. This is the weekend. I really need you to show up for me. I know I haven't shown up for you. I know I haven't served you like I wanted to. But God, I need you this weekend. Everything is on the line. Everything is riding on this weekend. God, I got 48 hours and I need God to show up. Touch your neighbor and say, ask God to show up. But he doesn't. What do you do when God doesn't show up? What do you do when you come to church, but God doesn't? What do you do when you give to God, and it seems like God doesn't give back to you? Moses, being aware of the situation, said, listen here, God, if I go down, these folks don't, they don't even remember who I am. Let's at least remember who God is. I at least was in Egypt a little while ago, but these guys, that was over 40 years ago. This generation, they're not even going to know my name. They're not even going to know I was born in the house of Pharaoh. And if they don't know me, how in the world are they going to know you? Have you ever been in a relationship with God and felt like God had forgotten you? Have you ever prayed to God and it felt like God hadn't heard you? Have you ever asked God to move and he didn't? You ever asked God to heal and it didn't happen? What do you do when God doesn't do what you want him to do? That's a good question, right? Because I'm your pastor, I'll give you the answer. The answer is you got to trust him anyway. Test your neighbor and say, trust him anyway. Here it is, verse 14, and I'm going to, here it is. I'm going to give it to you quick. God says to Moses, Moses began to make excuses for God. How are they going to listen to you? They haven't heard from you in 400 years. How are they going to believe you? You haven't performed any miracles in over 400. Moses just piling on excuses for God. Moses hadn't even gone down to the people to see what they would say. He's on the mountain with God saying, this ain't going to work. No, Lord, I can shoot so many holes in your plan. It just ain't going to work. And he's making all of these excuses for God. Touch your neighbor and say, don't make excuses for him. Now, let me tell you why. Here it is. God says to Moses, I am who I am. And he said, moreover, thus you shall say to the children of Israel, I am has sent me to you. Touch your neighbor and say, I am. I am may be who you are, but God said that I am who I am. This is a fancy biblical terminology for God that says, I am who I am, and I can do whatever I want to do. His name tells us that he is self-existent, and that he by himself is eternal. He is self-existence, meaning he does not require the assistance of anyone or anything to be God. Touch your neighbor and say he's God by himself. Not only is he God by himself, he is an eternal God. That means he's the God of yesterday and today and forevermore. Jesus picked it up in Revelation, and he said these words. He said, I am the Alpha and the Omega. I'm the beginning and the end. I am he who was, is, and is to come. I'm the Almighty God. I wish I could preach better than the way you're responding. I wish I had a church that understood that is God.
by himself, he can do whatever he needs to do whenever he needs to do it. That's why, church, you don't have to make excuses for your God. If you just wait, he will show up in time. Somebody say yes.
Yeah, I don't have to make excuses for him. He said, Moses, just tell him that I am. They say, who sent you? Tell him I am has sent me. Verse 15, here it is. Moreover, God said to Moses, thus you shall say to the children of Israel, the Lord God of your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, has sent me to you. And he said, Moses, this is what I want you to tell him. My name is forever, and this my memorial shall be to all generations. Psalms 135, 13 says this, thy name, O Lord, endureth forever, and thy memorial, God, is throughout all generations. Touch your neighbor and tell him his name is forever. Because God is forever. And God said, all of my handiwork serves as a memorial. A memorial is something that is erected to remind people of something that has been done in the past. God said, all of the earth is my memorial. Every time you see a mountain ridge, it's a memorial to God. Every ocean in the earth is a memorial to the power of God. Every time you wake up, the sun is a memorial. The clouds is a memorial. The moon and the stars, they remind us that God is God all by himself. The very fact that you woke up is a memorial to the power of God. The very fact that you're still breathing is a sign that God is still on. Jay, give me a little bit more mic on this. I can't hear myself. It's a memorial. His name endures. Everything we see, hear, touch, and feel reminds us that God is still on the throne. Proverbs picked it up. 18 and 10 said the name of the Lord is a strong tower, and the righteous, and the righteous. What's his name, church? His name is Jesus. What's his name, church? Here it is. Here it is. If you want to exit the sermon, here's a way out of it. Stop telling God about your enemy. And start telling your enemy about your God. Homework assignment for the next 7 days. When you go down to pray, don't tell God about your bills. Don't tell him about your health, illness, and sickness. Don't tell him about how short you are in the finance area. Don't tell him about what you need done this week. But rather, talk to your enemy. Get your bills out. Sit them on the table and say, bills, I declare in the name of the living God, I
am coming out of this. Lay hands on your own body and say, be healed in the name. I'm just trying to tell you, you don't have to make excuses for God. You don't have to make excuses to the enemy about why God has or has not moved in your life. If you wait just a little while longer, touch your neighbor and say, hang on in there. He may not come when you want him, but he's always, I wish I had a real church. He's always. The psalmist said, let God arise and his enemies be scattered. Devil, get out of my house. Devil, leave my body alone. Devil, leave my kids alone. Devil, get out of my money. Devil, let God arise. And his enemies be scattered. Devil, you may not be scared of me, but you better be scared of my God, because my God is the same God that kicked you out and cast you down. You weren't created to live in this world, but you got big and bad and thought you were bigger than God, and God kicked you out. God cast you down. Here it is. I'm finished. Here it is. He said, go get the elders and tell them, I have visited you and seen what is done to you in Egypt. You don't get anything out of the message. Get this. Touch your neighbor. God is watching. God is watching. Everything that the enemy does. Help me preach. Tell your neighbor, God is watching. Every time your adversary puts a stumbling block in your way. Help me preach it. Tell him God is watching. Every time he touches your body, remind him what Job said. God is watching. Every time he touches your family, tell him God is watching. Not only is he watching. Where that pin at? Not only does God watch, he records. One of these days, I'm going to get you to understand that your God is the greatest business person to ever live. I'm not afraid of Donald Trump because I got a God. He's watching and he's recording everything. This is why you need to be excited about that. Because he's going to make the devil pay you back for everything that he ever stole from you. touch your neighbor and say, get it back. Get it back. Get back what he stole. Get back what he took. Get back what he infirmized. Get it all back. That's the next sermon, but here it is. I'm finished with this. He said, I've seen what's been going on. Here it is, verse 17. You get this, you got the whole sermon. Verse 17. This is God talking. And God said, I will bring you up and out. I wish I had a real church. Of the affliction of Egypt. And I'm going to take you to the land of the ites. I wish I had a real church. I'm preaching and you don't even realize. It's the Canaanites, the Hittites, Amorites, Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites, and Haterites, and wanna be youites. Every player hater, every Christian character, everyone that hates the name of the Lord. God said, I'm gonna pick you up, turn you around, I'm gonna give you everything that the devil stole. Somebody give the Lord a praise. Here it is. Egypt represents to the church sin. God said, I'm going to pick you up and I'm going to bring you out of Egypt, out of the life you knew before. I'm going to pick you up and bring you out of the life you used to know before we started dating. Come on, let's thank God for our newlyweds. But might I remind you that God, when he talks about his church, he said there is a bridegroom and his name is Jesus. And he has a chaste bride and she is the church. But just like Hosea showed us, when God found us, we were not a virgin. We were not chaste. We lived in the market of the street. But God, because he's God, didn't get scared. Touch your neighbor and say, God ain't scared. He married us anyway. I can understand why I married Jemay. Just like the comment said, all you got to do is take one look and you would understand why. Let the church say yes. But what about the other woman who is not beautiful? What about the other woman who is not clean, not pure, not honest? Who will she marry? Who will be her husband? And I heard God says, I am your husband. I will be your man. Check your neighbors and I married God. He's my lover. He's my friend. He's everything to me. Somebody shout yes.
Egypt and the Israelites were covered in filthy sin. They had drifted so far from God, not only did they not know God, we would have all understood if God would have pretended not to know them. Anybody here want to help me preach? Have you ever been in a situation and someone comes in the room and you want to act like you don't know them? Hey, what's up to you? All right. Hey, yeah. Hey. All right. Yeah, all right. Yeah. And the reason why I want to act like I don't know you, because knowing you would bring me down. Knowing you would lower my status. But look at your God, who's got crazy love. Touch somebody and say, he's got crazy love. When no one else would talk to you, when no one else would invite you to the dance floor, God sent his son in the form of human flesh, and Jesus said, I choose you. No one else has, no one else would, but I'm God by myself. You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you. I'm finished with it. Because he chose you, he said, I'm going to bring you up and I'm going to bring you out. And then once I get you out, I'm going to set you in a large place. That's what he's saying. That six nations, God said, I'm going to kick them out. All because what I promised to your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I'm going to pick you up. I'm going to bring you out. And I'm going to set you in a large place. So if you got the message, say, I got it. If you're with me this Sunday and you're going to stop making excuses for God, say, I got it. If you're with me this Sunday and you're ready for God to bring you up and out, say, I got it. Here it is. This is the end of it. Here's the preaching test. As a sign of your faith, that you believe that God's going to do what he promised to do. Touch your neighbor and say, you got to take a faith test. Moses had to take a faith test. Aaron had to take a faith test. The elders of Israel had to take a faith test. God didn't say he was going to do it while he was talking to them. Not only did God promise to bring them out, the situation got noticeably worse after God said he was going to do it. Are you with me? If you got it, say, I got it. If you're ready for the faith test, say, Pastor, I'm ready. Now, if you believe that God's going to pick you up and bring you out, the faith test this Sunday, since we all are seated, is by faith. We've got to get up, we got to take a step out, and then we've got to give God some kind of praise as a sign that I believe just what he said, and if he's really God, he's able to do just what he said he would do.
Touch your neighbor and say, it's time for a faith test. Now, if you really believe that whatever is holding you back, whatever you're making excuses about or excuses for, God says, no more excuses. I'm going to bring you up and I'm going to bring you out because I've got a better place for you. I got more for you. I've got something larger for you. So if you're ready, on the count of three, if you're going to take the faith test, stand up, step out, and give the Lord some kind of praise. One, two, three. Come on, take the faith test. Step out on God. Step out on His Word. Step out by His Spirit. I'm going to step out. I'm not going to wait for God. I'm going to step out. I'm going to turn around. I believe. I believe. Yes. Take the test. Take the test. Give your God a praise. Give your God a praise. Give your God a praise. Touch three people and say, I'm coming out. Watch out. Get out of my way. I'm on my way out. I'm on my way up. I heard from the Lord. And I'm coming out. I dare you to pray them. Pray them on your way out. Pray them on your way up. No more excuses for me or for my God. God is not a man that He should lie. Had He not spoken it, shall He not perform it and make it good? Yeah, I'm coming out of this. Yeah, I'm getting out of this debt. I'm getting out of this relationship. I'm getting out of this neighborhood. Oh no, my God is able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all. Now I'm going to say this in close. Just like your God is watching, so is your adversary. Now I told you in the story about the Israelites in Egypt, it got worse before it got better. That little bit of praise you just offered up to God,
is not going to be enough. It's not going to be enough for when the enemy steps up his attack. Well, Pastor, if you knew that praising God would draw the ire and the increased attack from the enemy, why did you have me do it? Faith is only faith. Everybody looking at me. Faith is only faith when it is tested. This is not faith. That's not faith. Putting your hands up, that's not faith. Faith is you guys got to stop hitting each other. I would expect that 5 years ago, but you're not little boys now. You're young men. I haven't preached long this Sunday. So both of you have the ability to what? Control yourself. You get ready to go upstairs for a while, Lee. But honor the word of God. Even if you don't understand the word of God, you still honor it. Faith is not faith unless it's tested. Do I have a witness? Sister Rudy, do I have a witness? Sister Macy, do I have a witness? It ain't faith until it's going through the Brother Johnny, do I have a witness? It ain't faith. This is not faith. Dancing and spinning around in here on Sunday is not faith. Faith is when the enemy comes in like a flood. No church. No pastor. No deacon. No prayer woman. No one but you, the enemy, and God. And it's certainly not faith when you're making excuses. It's not faith. Faith is when you say, I'm going to stand on the word of God. It's all I got. For what the enemy is bringing against me, even if I had a companion, it wouldn't matter. The only thing I have. Are you with me? On Friday night, we're learning what? Having done all to stand. This is where I wish I had a real church. On Friday night, he said, what? You just got to stand anyway. What are you standing on? Standing on the word of God. That's all I got. That's all I can fight with. So when our day of worship is over and our time of fellowship comes to an end, you go back to your house, and I got to go back to my house and my home and fight my own devils. Can't make any excuses anymore. You got to take whatever word you have. You got to stand on it. You got to stand with your loins girt about with truth. Friday night, we learn when the times of battle, you got to put on the breastplate. No prayer line at home. No oil at home. You got to stand flat-footed. You got to engage the devil one-on-one. Say, devil, I may not have much, but I've got the word of God. And if God be for me, I won't ever again make excuses for my God, because he's well able to deliver me out of this. Shall we all stand?